Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight, and let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Thank you for a good day today. We just pray your blessing on the program. Use us for your glory tonight. Help us to point people to Christ, and we do pray that we could lift up and glorify the Savior through the things we talk about this evening. We just thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glad to be with you here tonight, and let me encourage you to check out our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you want to find out more information about the program, more information about me, more information about the church that I'm the pastor of, that's the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, you can find all that linked at our website, livewithpastoral.com. You can also go from there to our Facebook page, and you can check out the things we have on Facebook. And if you want to, you can like us on Facebook, too. I guess you can do that. But we'd love to have you check those things out. Past programs are archived there as well at livewithpastoral.com. And so you can listen to past programs through that as well. So I encourage you to check out our website, livewithpastoral.com. But as I said, you're listening tonight. It's a live program. And we'd love to get your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And so you can call us toll-free. The phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here tonight with your questions. And while we're talking about some things here tonight, I just was going to mention that this morning at our church, I like to preach through books of the Bible, and this morning I was in Luke chapter 24. We've been going through the Gospel of Luke for some time now, and we have been going through a series of things in Luke chapter 24 dealing with the resurrection of Christ. And I just thought something I would share here a little bit in Luke chapter 24, and excuse me, getting a little bit of a frog in my throat there, I think, right when I'm trying to read. The disciples have been gathered in an upper room, and the doors are locked. And over in the Gospel of John, he talks about how the doors were locked in different places. But the Bible says that while these men were speaking, different men were speaking there, the two that had been on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus had appeared to them on the road to Emmaus and spoke with them, and they didn't realize who it was at first. They hurried back to Jerusalem, and they had come into the room, and they were talking with them, and the people were saying that that Jesus had appeared to Simon, that would be Peter, and then the two disciples that had been on the road to Emmaus, they told about how Jesus had appeared to them on the road and broke bread with them. And as they're talking about these things, there's an interesting reaction or occurrence here, and their reaction. It says in Luke 24, verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Now, here's Jesus, of course. This is the person that they had spent time with. They had traveled with him. They had walked and talked with him. They listened to him teach and preach. They had broke bread with him. And while they're talking about this, he appears in the midst of them. Now, as John pointed out, the doors were locked, and he didn't open the doors. He passed into the room and appeared in the midst of them. And The next verse, verse 37, says, "But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit." So they thought they saw a ghost. That's what happened here. And I always found this be kind of interesting when you think about this, because this, people say, well, the early Christians, they made up the story of the resurrection. They made up these things. Jesus never rose from the dead. He was nothing special. They made this stuff up. Well, let me ask you, if you made something up, would you make yourself look like an idiot? Think about that. Would you make yourself look like an idiot? Think about the context here in Luke chapter 24. We've got these people that have traveled with Jesus for like 3 years. Not all of them, but many of them had, because the women early in chapter 24 that had gone to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, that was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and some other women that had been traveling with them since they were up in Galilee. They come to the temple, and they see an angel descend from heaven. There's a huge earthquake. And remember, the sun is just getting ready to come up here. And a huge earthquake. The Roman soldiers that are guarding the tomb, they faint right on the spot. They just faint dead away. And the women are standing there, and the stone's rolled away, and an angel says that he's not here. They said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and remember, or and the third day rise again." Now, they had heard those words, these women did, and yet it just didn't gel in their hearts. They'd heard him say it, but it just didn't click. And the Bible says when the angel said that to them, there in Luke 24, verse 8, it said, and they remembered his words. And all of a sudden, they remembered this, and they saw that the tomb was empty. Now, the other Gospels relate that they were told to go back and tell the disciples. And so they head back, and they tell the disciples. Now, here's Peter, here's James, here's John, here's Matthew, here's Luke, here's the disciples, here's all of them gathered together. These are men that traveled with Jesus. These are men that Jesus sent out two by two in various places where they had traveled. They had heard Jesus teach and preach. They likewise, just like the women, they likewise had heard Jesus say that he was going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now, Jesus said all of this, and yet again, here are the disciples who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus. They spent 3 years, some of them, with him, and they didn't get it. They didn't believe it. They didn't understand it. And so Peter and I believe John is the other disciple, they race off to the tomb, and they look in, and they see an empty tomb. And inside the tomb, there's the cloth that was wrapped around the body of Christ. It's folded up and by itself, and the cloth that was over his head, it's also folded up by itself, and they see that the tomb is empty, and they come back. And so now we have the disciples that are trying to understand this, and now we have the two disciples, they're not amongst the 12, and they head in wanting to, or talking about what was going on, and they make a statement when Jesus appears to them as they're talking about things and asks them what they're talking about, and they asked, "Are you a stranger? You don't know what's going on?" In verse 19, Jesus says to them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." Now, they said that we thought that Jesus was a prophet. He was a mighty prophet, but he was crucified. And then they went on, verse 21, said, "But we trusted that it had been him," or he, "which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us," that'd be Peter and James, or John, "which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even, and so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, here's these men who had heard Jesus tell that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be killed, that he would rise again the third day. And they said, you know, we admit he was a prophet. We thought maybe, we trusted that he was going to be the Redeemer, that he was the Messiah. But you know what? We must be wrong because it's the third day. Oh, yeah, I know some of the women went there and they said the tomb is empty and they saw some angels which said he's risen. Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen as he said. But you know how women talk. You know, they said those are idle tales. And then the two of our guys went there and they looked in. But, you know, they didn't see him. Neither did the women. So, yeah, it must not have happened. We were wrong. You know, we get frustrated when we try to explain the gospel message to people today. These are men and women that walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus. They spent time with him, and they heard him with their own ears from his lips say that these things were going to take place, and they couldn't believe it. The two men in Emmaus Road, Jesus appears to them. They don't see him and for who he is yet. They're prevented from recognizing him, and he begins to talk to them. He says, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Then he gives on through the scriptures, going through, I believe, the prophecies that talked about the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, and finally the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then finally, when he stops to eat with them, they recognize him, and then he disappears. And now they're kind of excited about all this. So you would think that by now, people would believe that Jesus rose, especially the disciples. Well, Jesus appears in their midst, as we started reading here in Luke chapter 24. And the first thing we read about them, he said, when he says, "Peace be unto you," the Bible says here in verse 37, "But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit." They still didn't believe. They thought he was a ghost. Jesus has to prove that he's not a ghost. He says, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they, notice this, and while they yet believed not for joy. Now it's too good to be true. Wow, this is, it sure looks like him. And he's got, you know, a physical body. It must be him, but it can't be. It's too good to be true. I know he said that he was going to rise again, but it's too good to be true. And so he says, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Finally, they begin to believe. Well, one of them wasn't there. That was Thomas. Thomas shows up later and says, "I'm sorry, I just can't believe. Unless I can see him with my own eyes and I can touch him with my own hands, I'm not going to believe it." Later on, he appears, and Thomas is there, and he believes. And, you know, if it was hard for them to believe, then we shouldn't be surprised when it's hard to get people to believe today. But you know what? The key there, God opened up their understanding, and they believed. And we have to pray that when we talk to people, God will open up their understanding, and they'll believe. Well, if you're trying to reach somebody with the gospel, don't give up on them. It was hard for Jesus, even after he rose from the dead, to reach people with the truth of the resurrection. So, be faithful, pray for them, and pray that God will open up their understanding and that they'll be able to see the truth and trust Christ as their Savior. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got Jeremiah calling in tonight. Jeremiah, welcome to the program this evening.
Yes, hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
I got my King James Bible open. I have a question.
After yes, sir.
Jesus was crucified, and rose from the grave. There was two men that was walking down the road after that happened.
Right.
And there's a stranger that approached the two men, and was that Jesus that approached them?
Yeah, you're talking about the two men on the road to Emmaus?
Yeah.
Right. That's here in Luke chapter 24. In fact, the way that it says it here, in Luke 24, and it says in verse number, 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And a score, of course, is 20. So 3 times 20, that would be 60. And a furlong is about 200 yards, I think, something like that. So whatever 60 times 200 yards would be in miles or portions thereof. But that's the distance they were traveling. And they were talking about it. And it says in verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And of course, holden, that simply means that it's like they were covered. They were prevented from seeing because, you know, like if they unveil a statue or a painting or something, they have a cloth over it and they pull back the cloth and, you know, you could say behold, which means it's uncovered. You can see it now. And so it's the same root that we get holden from. Behold means uncover and see, uncover your eyes and see. And holden means it's covered so you can't see. And so their eyes, in some fashion, I think it's supernatural here, because they obviously saw somebody that was with them, but they could not recognize him at the time as Jesus until such time as they stopped and they had a meal with him. And then it says in verse 31, as he broke the bread and gave it to them, it says in verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And so yeah, it was Jesus. They just didn't recognize him at first.
No,
and then they did.
Jesus was in a robe with a hood on him.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Was Jesus wearing a robe with a hood on him?
No, I think he was just probably dressed like anybody, and they just did not recognize him at the moment because they're... like you said, their eyes were holden, which means their eyes, they were prevented from seeing who he really was at that moment. And I don't think that he necessarily had a hood, you know, up over, because they were talking and walking for a while, and then they sat down to eat. And that's when their eyes were opened, rather than him, you know, for instance, taking the hood down or something like that.
Jesus closed their eyes, so they wouldn't recognize him?
Right. He prevented them from seeing and recognizing him at first. And then he allowed them to see, and their eyes were open. And
that's a very interesting story.
Yeah, it is. It's a very fascinating story. And so, yeah, for their purposes, they you can see they don't recognize him, because in verse number 18, after he asked them what they're talking about and why they're sad, they said, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" So they didn't have a clue who he was. So.
Okay, thank you. That's my question. Talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate that question there tonight. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. And I believe Barb is calling in next. Barb, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hi, good evening.
Yeah, I've got a question, and I'm sorry about my voice.
That's okay.
I guess it's allergies or something.
It's that time of year, pollen flying, huh?
I can barely hear you.
I said, I guess it's that time of year, the allergies.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a stupid question.
Well, it's... usually the answers are where the stupid part comes in. I give a stupid answer.
It's been on my mind, and I probably should have called in and asked Brother Richard, but I just didn't want to talk because of my voice and that. Okay. Can I say the H word or no?
Well, you're talking about the opposite of heaven. We're talking about hell in the Bible, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The lake of fire.
Yes.
The lake of fire is not hell, right?
Well, the lake of fire. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Where it's at. I've got it in my mind, like the rich man died and said, went to hell.
That would be in Luke chapter 16. And we will turn over there. Give me just a moment here.
we know hell's hot.
Oh, yeah. And it says right here, this is Luke chapter 16. There's a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. This is in verse 19. And fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And then it says in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So, and that's the fire of hell in a place of torment there.
He could see out. He could see out.
Right. Well, he could see Abraham and Lazarus. And I do not believe that this is a parable. I believe this is an actual occurrence that God gave to us in this account. Because you remember, this is prior to the cross. And a key to that is on the cross. Remember, Jesus said to the one thief who said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said, today, not tomorrow, not 3 days from now, not next week or next year.
Yeah.
He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So there's a promise that the thief would go to be in paradise with the Lord. And that very day, now they died that day, and the Bible says that Jesus descended into the depths of the earth, and I believe that's over in Ephesians here.
Well, that's an actual place. Then it's not imaginary. It's an actual, like Henry says, heaven is a dimension.
Yeah, it's a spiritual dimension, and you see the entrances to heaven pictured as going up into the clouds, and then we see the hell obviously would be also a spiritual dimension, but it's pictured as going down into the earth.
Because he went down, yeah.
Yeah, he went down into the earth.
The place of torment.
Well, there's two compartments there, because notice what, let me read this in Ephesians 4, help explain what I'm saying here. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's talking about Jesus in the resurrection, and we're going to come up on the bottom of the hour break here shortly, and we can continue this on the other side of the break if you can hold, if we run out of time here.
I could do that.
Yeah. So he says this, he says in Ephesians 4, Paul's writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He ascended.
Yeah, he preached to them, and they had a chance to repent, right?
No. I'll show you what's going on here in just a moment.
Okay, I knew verse, I asked for
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Verse 9 says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all things that he might fill all things. So this is telling us that Jesus, he descended into the lower parts of the earth, then he ascended up into heaven. Let me tie that in with a passage here in Acts chapter 2 when Peter's preaching this tremendous message on the day of Pentecost that resulted in thousands of people coming to Christ.
Well, he had the keys to the kingdom, right?
Well, and that'll get us off a little bit there. But, yeah, he was given the privilege of bringing the gospel and opening the gospel message to Jews and Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
But he, in his message here, as he's preaching, he makes an interesting quotation from Psalm 16, okay? And he says this. This is in Acts chapter 2. And he says in verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always on before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Notice what He's quoting from Psalm 16 here, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. David, whom the Bible says was the man after God's own heart, a man that we're going to see in heaven, David in Psalm 16 says that he's not going to remain in hell forever.
Right.
And he talks about the Holy One, the Messiah, coming down and not seeing corruption. And see, what happened prior to the cross is that hell, which was literally the abode of the dead, was divided into two compartments, a place called Abraham's bosom, which was a paradise-like place, and a place of torment. Jesus on the cross told the thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He descended into the lower parts of the earth. He descended into hell, not into torment, because he'd already paid for our sins on the cross. He said, "It is finished."
It is finished.
Yeah, so he went into the place of paradise where David was, where Abraham was, where Lazarus was, where the saints of the Old Testament were, and he proclaimed himself the Messiah that they were looking forward to. And likewise, the people in the torment side, they also understood that there's the Messiah that they were rejecting. And then he took the saints up into heaven, and now today, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hey, well, stick with us, and we'll continue this on the other side of the break. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888
877-9673. Also remind you that we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, the home of the homemade pizza. And you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. East Coast Pizza's got calzone, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, a whole lot more, and I think some of the best pizza around. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe you've got a restaurant and you'd like a good pizza recipe that you can add to your lineup, or if you just want to get into the pizza business yourself and start a brand new restaurant. It doesn't have to be in Ohio. You can be out of Ohio. If you're listening and you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in a pizza business without all those high franchise fees, and he can help you get set up there. All right, we're going to get back to our program again. Visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. For more information about us, the program, listen to past programs there, and a link to our Facebook page there and various articles and things. I encourage you to check that out, livewithpastoral.com. And we went into the break. We were talking with Barb in West Virginia about the subject of hell in the Bible and the difference between hell and the lake of fire. And Barb, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
All right. Well, let's continue on with this. And just a real quick review in case we've got some new people joining us here at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
We have the Bible presenting Jesus as descending in Ephesians chapter 4, there verses 8 through 10, descending into the lower parts of the earth and then ascending, leading captivity captive. So there's somebody down there, some people there, that he brings out, and he ascends up to heaven with them. And Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching, and he's quoting from Psalm 16, and he says there, starting about verse number 25, about David, and he this is where he quotes from Psalm 16, and he quotes David saying that God would not leave his soul, meaning David's soul, in hell, neither would he let his Holy One see corruption. And so we see that also in Luke chapter 16 that the rich man had descended into hell and he was in torment, and then Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. And so what I was saying is that prior to the cross, hell was divided into a place of torment and then Abraham's bosom, or paradise. That's where Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," to the thief on the cross. And so they both died that day. They both descended into paradise.
That's where the Catholics get that purgatory.
No, they actually get it from someplace else. They get it from some heathen doctrine. It's totally different. There's no suffering in paradise. Paradise, a way that you could put it, sounds kind of humorous, but remember buying things on layaway?
Mm-hmm.
You would go to the store, and you would want to buy something. You didn't have the money. You put some money down, and then they would take the item off the shelf, put it in the layaway counter, and have your name on it. But you could not take it home with you until the price was paid. When the price was paid in full, you had a ticket, and you went to the layaway counter, and you showed them the ticket that said that it was paid in full, and they gave you your item, and you took it home. And so paradise was kind of like the layaway counter. The down payment was made. They put their faith in the Redeemer, in the Messiah that would come, and they made the animal sacrifices. But the final price was not paid until Jesus died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished," meaning the final payment was paid. And in effect, he went to the layaway counter, and he said, "I paid the price, and I'm claiming that which is mine." And David was there, King David, man after God's own heart, the Bible says, was there waiting, and he removed him and all of those that were in Abraham's bosom that were held there until the final payment was made. They ascended up into heaven, And now the only ones that descend into hell are the unsaved, those that reject Christ.
Right.
Those that die with Christ, Paul says in Second Corinthians 6, I believe it is, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And if we go back to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and we go to Revelation chapter 20, after the great white throne judgment, after the thousand-year reign of Christ, and then comes the great white throne judgment, here's an interesting statement here. We see the dead, and these are the unrighteous. These are the unsaved, those that have rejected God. They stand before him. And it says here in verse number 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged.
That's two different hells, isn't it?
What's that?
The sea gave up their dead.
Well, and see, you go down into the sea. You go down into the grave, into the earth.
Uh-huh.
And in death, you go down as an unsaved person. And remember I said earlier, you go up into heaven, but here heaven's a spiritual realm. You go down into hell, but that would also be in a spiritual realm.
Right.
And so when you go, when they died and they sunk down into the depths of the sea, they would have went into hell as well.
Oh, okay, the ones that died in the sea.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so here's what we see here in verse 14. It says, and death and hell, notice this, were cast into the lake of fire. This is second death. So hell is actually cast into the lake of fire. So the lake of fire is a separate entity or place from hell. And it's big enough that it can receive hell into it.
Wow.
So hell is a temporary abode of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time it was divided into two compartments, paradise and torment. Now it's just torment. And the price was paid. So now if we know Christ as our Savior, we go directly to heaven to be with the Lord. There's no need for the layaway counter, as it were.
The soul, actually the soul lives forever. The soul never dies.
Right. And the soul of the redeemed goes to heaven. The soul of the unredeemed is going to spend time in hell. The rich man in Luke chapter 16, he's in hell right now, awaiting the final resurrection, which is here in Revelation chapter 20. He's going to stand before God. He's going to be condemned, and then he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And then finally, the lake of hell itself is going into the lake of fire.
Wow.
The lake of fire is eternal. No one comes out of the lake of fire. The beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, they're cast into the lake of fire before the thousand-year reign of Christ.
Mm.
And then after the thousand-year reign of Christ, the Bible says that that the devil is cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. So let's see in verse number 10 here, Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This tells
us
it's an ongoing eternal torment.
Good.
So hell, the place of torment, is like the lake of fire, but it's temporary in that sense. The lake of fire is eternal, and forever and ever, it says there. And,
you know, I always thought, too, this is sort of a stupid thought, but I wondered what actually really felt pain, if the body felt pain or if it was the spirit that felt the pain, because the spirit would be in torment in hell, so the spirit would feel pain.
I think body, soul, and spirit will experience pain in hell. There's the pain, physical pain, tormented in this flame. Then there's if you look at it, body, soul, and spirit, remember we're created in the image of God, and that's analogous to the Godhead. God the Father would, for instance, the soul, God the Spirit, that would be the spirit. And then God the Son, that would be equivalent. The body's the equivalent of that. And we would a person in hell would experience spiritual torment because they're spiritually cut off from God. And then they would torment of the soul. If the soul is like your intellect, your will, your emotion, you know, the emotional pain and the knowing.
Well, I'll leave you with this other question because I'm listening to you on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about cremation? Because I've been hearing a lot lately, people being cremated.
Oh, okay, yeah, let me just touch on that briefly because I do have another caller calling
okay,
in as
brother,
well.
And I will hang up
yeah,
and listen.
And I'll just touch on that real briefly. Christian burial and the Hebrew burial before it was always a bodily burial entombed in the earth, picturing the body waiting for the day of the resurrection. Now, somebody's cremated, that doesn't mean God cannot give you a resurrected body. And cremation usually was associated with things like reincarnation, pagan practices, and stuff like that. But there's countless people who've been blown up, burnt up, drowned in the sea, eaten by fishes, things like that. And when the resurrection takes place, God will assemble their bodies. It doesn't have to be the exact atoms and molecules. In fact, he couldn't do that because each of us here tonight, myself and each person listening, we have atoms and molecules in us that have been inside of other people. You just think about it. I breathe in oxygen. I breathe out carbon dioxide. That carbon dioxide gets taken in by a blade of grass. Cow eats the blade of grass with that carbon dioxide molecule in it, and it's been changed into a sugar molecule. The cow takes a sugar molecule, gets changed into milk, the lactose in the milk, and then somebody drinks the milk, and they get that carbon dioxide molecule that had been in me. So it's
what makes
it's
the world go round.
Yeah. So it's the recipe, so to speak.
Yeah,
you know,
okay,
you,
brother,
he'll assemble your body, my body, and it'll look like the way it's supposed to be without the curse. And like a friend of ours said one time, everybody's going to have a perfect head, bald. He said God only made a few perfect heads; the rest he put hair on. So
okay.
So everybody will be bald. No, that's not true. But any rate, thanks for the calls tonight, Barb. I appreciate it. I appreciate that. And again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And we have Carol calling in tonight. Carol, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my question.
Hi, thanks for calling.
I just started, my curiosity got piqued by a devotion in the Daily Bread. And mm-hmm. I started doing a study of Mary and Martha.
Right.
And I haven't really gotten into it. I didn't have my good study Bible with me when I started this. But something I wanted to look at the sequence of events that happened to them and just get my mindset straight. Now, the Mary who anointed Jesus with the oil from the alabaster box.
Right. And for our listeners, there's a number of people called Mary that figure into some the gospel
right.
accounts.
And this is Mary of Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
And is this Martha's sister Mary?
Let me take a look here in John chapter 11. And there's a Mary and Martha, obviously, that are sisters, and their brother is Lazarus. Remember the
right.
gentleman that passed away and Jesus raised him from the dead?
Right.
And he also stayed with them in those final days. Remember when he went into just before the crucifixion, they entered in on Palm Sunday, and he
right.
was staying with them in Bethany. That was just a short distance from
right.
Jerusalem.
Right, and Bethany was the place where the other Mary, if it is the other Mary, you know, anointed him at the home of Simon the leper.
Right, right. And here in, let's see, in John chapter 11, it says in verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment
oh,
and
okay.
wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, this is earlier on, possibly, you know, because there could have been more than one woman that did this, because I know what you're thinking of there, like you said, at the dinner at the home of Simon the leper, the woman came in with the alabaster box and broke it open and anointed his feet, and some of the disciples, and Judas in particular, become a little disgruntled that it was a waste. They said he should have sold it and given the money to the poor. And one of the Gospels, I'm not sure which one, says that one of the reasons that Judas said that was because he was the treasurer and he was a thief, which
right.
means he wanted to get a hold of the money and steal some of it. So,
it's really not clear that this Mary was the sister of Martha.
Yeah, oh, yes. the one in Simon's house, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that is one of those things that is hard to sort out in there, because one, you know, we could say, well, maybe in chapter 11, when it puts in, because it's put in parentheses, it says it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so that could be an informational point that was placed in there, because it is in parentheses, you know, letting us know that this is the Mary that
okay.
later on, at a later point, not at this point, but at a later point, does
right.
that. So
okay.
It's, yeah,
that,
so it's, it is kind of so confusing as to which one it is. But if there's two Marys and they both did it, that would not be too unusual, because
right.
It would have been a sign of great affection and worship. And also the name Mary was very common, because, you know, we have Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. We have Mary Magdalene. We have Mary, who is the mother of Jesus, and then there's another Mary that's mentioned in the there's several people named Mary, so it's a very common name at that time.
Okay, let's just say this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sister of Martha,
right.
and Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also see the scene of Lazarus' death
right.
with Mary and Martha. And then we also see where Martha complains to Jesus that Mary is listening and not helping.
Right, right. That's,
so we have these, like, three pictures of Mary.
Right. That is a case, I think Martha was the one who was busy trying to do all the work.
Right.
And... Martha, or I'm sorry, I'll get my sisters straight here. Martha was the one doing the work, and Mary instead was wanting to be in the presence of the Lord. And,
right.
So Martha got kind of miffed about it, because she's doing all this work and she's real busy. And, here's her sister, just kind of sitting at the feet of Jesus, enjoying his company. And,
okay.
Yeah, so
leading
when,
to the upper room, what would the sequence have events been in these three scenarios? The anointing of his feet would probably, I thought, would have been the last thing to happen. And then the first thing would have been... Martha chastising her sister, and then the second thing would have been, the next thing would have been the death of Lazarus. And
right.
then the last thing before the resurrection, or before the crucifixion, would have been Mary anointing.
Now,
Jesus.
And that could be, because we have in Luke chapter 10, that's where what we're talking about, what you're asking about Mary and Martha. And that's where they went there, and it says in Luke 10, verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And then I'm trying to think. I think it would have been after this that the death of Lazarus took place, like you said.
Right.
And then, of course, if like I said there in John chapter 11, where it has that in parentheses, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick.
So it looks like Mary's character is pretty consistent.
Right. She's somebody
who... in her relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, she's somebody who, in a sense, is more wanting to worship, and Martha is somebody who's more wanting to serve.
Right, and it seems as though even after Jesus talked to Martha and said, your sister has chosen the better thing, you know, it didn't really change things that much
right.
for Martha.
And in fact, let me take a look here in John chapter 11 here real quick. When he goes to raise Lazarus from the dead, let's see, it's... the first one that he encounters is Martha, and Mary's still in the house.
Yeah, she runs out to meet him before he even gets into the city.
Right. She goes out and runs out there. Mary's still in the house. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she meets Jesus first. And in a sense, she's the one who wants to be busy doing things, whereas Martha was in the house mourning her brother and probably, you know, talking with God and things of that nature. And so, like I said, it does seem to be a consistent character here. Martha is the more action-oriented of the two, and Mary is the more worship-oriented of the two in that sense.
Okay. That's kind of, you know, what I had jotted down myself, but I just wanted to go through it with you.
Yeah,
now,
and you know what's... Well, I was going to say, what's interesting with that is that Jesus loved both of them for what they did,
mm-hmm.
and he commended both of them. And that tells us that today there are some people who do more service-oriented in showing their love of the Lord, and there's some people who do things more worship-oriented in showing their love of the Lord. And God accepts both of them. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Is this Mary one of the Marys that's at the cross?
I believe that she probably would have been there for the reason that Bethany was so close by and the close relationship that they had. I think that she would have been there, and possibly Martha could have been there as well, because there were other women. Some of the women that were there had accompanied them all the way from Galilee and Nazareth. But I would think it most likely that Mary would have been there. She may have even been one of the ones that went with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the tomb
mm-hmm.
in the morning, on early Sunday morning. So, I think she probably would have been there because being that close.
Okay,
that's
well,
an interesting
thought. I appreciate you having clarifying this a little bit for me.
But you know, that's why these things are in the Bible, so we can learn from them. And that's the exciting thing about studying the Word of God. There's always something we can learn from the people that are mentioned.
Right.
So, well, let me thank you for your questions there tonight. I appreciate the call, and do call us again sometime. We're about out of time here tonight, and I want to thank our callers this evening. And again, remind you that you can visit us online at livewithpastoral.com. It's kind of hard to call online. Well, I guess you can do it with Skype, but I won't answer it at my website. But but you can find it livewithpastoral.com. Check that out. Listen to some of our past programs. And like us on Facebook. You can see the link there. And join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.